Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask that you open our hearts and minds so that we may clearly hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This morning I want to have a closer look at the psalm we read responsively earlier. It's one of the psalms that is heavy on Thanksgiving. And it's actually quite an appropriate one for harvest Thanksgiving. We actually find quite a bit when it comes to harvest Thanksgiving in the Old Testament, for one very obvious reason, is Israel basically survived, its economy was agriculture. So farming was how they did things. And so there was also the realization that in farming, they needed God. They didn't have control of everything. Not like you guys today. You have control of everything, don't you? You know, when you want it to rain, it always rains, doesn't it? It's so good to live in the 21st century. But I think even as we go back thousands of years, we still see the same situation. For all the hard work we might do, unless the Lord sends rain, where are we? Unless the Lord provides, how do we even survive? So let's have a closer look at this psalm. It starts off with talking about praise. But it quickly gets into to looking at the first thing we really need to be thankful for. So looking at the first four verses together, let's call this that it's looking at the greatest harvest is forgiveness. That's what the psalmist, David, is recorded as having written this psalm. So before he gets into the economy, and let's not fall into this trap where the main thing we are concerned about the economy, it's important, don't get me wrong. I do like to eat, I do like to have power, all those things. But the most important thing is our relationship with God. And notice what it says here in verses 3 and 4. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you chose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. Notice how it's laid out. This is the gospel message, isn't it? What's our state? We are the ones who are overwhelmed by sin. When we can't fix ourselves, when we can't do anything, it is God who steps in. It is God who forgives our transgressions. It doesn't say, when we had fully obeyed you, you forgave our transgressions. No, it says when we were in the midst of our sins, when we were in all our messiness, God steps in. God steps in. This is grace, isn't it? That we receive not what we deserve. Because what we deserve, it's not forgiveness, but that other bad stuff we don't like talking about. But our God loves us. This is not, as sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking something that is New Testament. This is something new that Jesus brought. One of the books that is quoted heavily throughout the New Testament is the Psalms. These collection of songs, this collection of poetry, because the gospel is rich in them. In Jesus, we just see what God has said in the Old Testament more clearly. It's still there. It was always there. But we often miss it. And notice, blessed are those you choose. Sometimes we turn that focus around start saying, have you chosen Jesus? Have you chosen to follow God? aren't you great because you chose? It's hard to find that in Scripture. What does the psalmist rejoice about? Not the decisions he has made, but that God first chose him. I'm not denying that we have a response to that, and David does go on about that. Yes, because God has chosen me, I want to accept that. I want to choose him too. But which is more impressive? That I choose to follow, to receive all that the creator of the universe has to offer, or that the creator of the universe chooses me, chooses you. That God chooses you, that is something to be truly thankful for, isn't it? And notice, he doesn't just choose you. It's not just a word. He brings you near to him. He brings you into a relationship. The concept that God wants to be at peace with his people, that God wants a relationship with you, that he wants to be able to treat you as his children, and he wants you as his children to treat him as your father. Once again, not something that just comes in the new. This is what God is pleading. God is working hard to have with the people of Israel. And David is thanking him for that. He then goes on in verses 5 to 10, and we'll call this section pointing out, this might be something a bit obvious, but the land is not self-sustaining. I'm assuming those of you who came here a long time ago, as in, you know, in the 60s, 70s, whenever you came, when you came to land that wasn't farms yet, it wasn't a farm when you arrived, was it? It was dirt. Bush. You didn't come and arrive to see fields of wheat, fields of canola, the sheep all sitting there waiting just for you to arrive. The land by itself does not do farming. The land does wonderful things. I'm not saying that it doesn't, but if we're just going to live off what the land produces naturally by itself, population sizes have to get a lot smaller, and you must really like berries and, well, it's Australia, so witchetty grubs and other sorts of tasty delicacies. But what he's putting out here is what we were talking about earlier. Let's have a look at verses 9 and 10. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain. For so you have ordained it. You dredge its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. Our Lord God is involved in his creation. One way to look at this is that God is creator and sustainer. What I'm saying there is that there's often a concept, and many people think this way, you often find this sort of view in some academic circles, that God created everything and then took a step back. You know, basically that the universe, that everything is this marvelous mechanism that God has wound up and let go. That God is at a distance. That is not what David is saying here. It is not what we see of the God of the Bible. He creates and gets involved with his creation. He gets involved with us. And we know that, don't we? He becomes one of us, the incarnation, Jesus. I don't think we as Christians have trouble accepting that God wants to be involved with us. But I think sometimes we do forget, or at least those of us who don't live on the land like many of you do, that he's involved with his creation as well. We've seen in our Bible study on Romans this concept of creation itself groaning for the Lord's return, groaning for all the sin that has been introduced, the brokenness of this world to be fixed. Remember, our God created a good world. He is a good creator. And he enjoys, I would venture to say, he enjoys sustaining it, enjoys being involved with it. Think of a car you've restored. You can do as many as you like. Do you just restore and then have nothing to do with it? Or do you want to drive it? Do you want to do things with it? That sort of joy we have of that, I think, is a glimpse of who our Creator God is. He loves you. He loves his creation. And then the psalm ends with these three verses, indicating that the year is crowned by grace. If we look at the year that has gone by, that it is grace. We started with grace, we end with grace. You crowned the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. We may have wonderful technology today, but we don't control the weather. We don't control, as it talks about there, what happens in the wilderness, do we? In the areas outside our farms. He points out there that the grasslands of the wilderness overflow. Why is that good? That's good for our flocks, our livestock can travel and find food. They don't just eat food we plant. Nature itself supplies it. And we're so good at saying that today. Comes easy off my lips. I've had a science education. We say nature does this and nature does that and nature decides. It's God, isn't it? God, not that God is nature, but that God is involved in nature. It is God that keeps things moving smoothly. And as David is saying there, as we look at all we have, as we look at the token that we have brought forward this morning, anything we bring as an offering, be it tokens of our crops, tokens of our gardens, tokens of our vocations, anything we bring, it is what God has given us to start with, isn't it? We can only give to him what he has first given to us. That is the grace that overflows this world. We often concentrate on the bad stuff in the world, don't we? And there's a lot of that, don't get me wrong. But we, in doing that, there is the danger, and I think this is what the evil one wants. We concentrate on what is wrong and don't see the blessings that God gives, not just to his people, but gives to all of creation. People today live longer than they ever have. That is something that has changed. Now, don't get me wrong. People 1,000 years ago, still lived to be 100 or more. That happened. When we say on average we live, you know what the really big difference is to now, to even just 100 years ago? It's how many children live. We live in a time where not only are we heartbroken, but we are surprised when a baby dies. You go back 100 years ago, go back 200 years ago, the further you go back, the more likely it was. Now, don't get me wrong, there were families who had 15 kids and 15 kids grew to adulthood. But there were many more who had 15 kids and 3 grew to adulthood. And that wasn't something that would be printed in the news. That was just normal. I'm not saying that it's that these people just weren't heartbroken or anything. Please don't get me wrong there. You should read Luther's accounts of what he and Katie felt as they lost 2 of their children. It's hard to find people in history that don't talk about child loss. But isn't that one of the things the Lord has blessed us with now? That is not as bad as what once again, there's still room for improvement. But here is some good news that we don't always think about. We have many blessings. We need to remember them each day. Yes, the things that you are afraid of in the world, the things that give you concern, bring them to him as well. But as David has done in this psalm, start off with thanks, thanking him for all that he has given you. And conclude, as he does with this psalm, once again in acknowledging how great and gracious is our God. Amen. The peace of God. Yeah. No, it's not going to come. The Lord bless you. Amen.